Welcome to Reading the Grid with Aaron and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. This year's Grand Prix brought the heat on and off the track. The weekend featured the second sprint race of the season. Rookie phenom Kimi Antonelli became the youngest driver to claim an F1 pole. A rain-soaked sprint race delivered shocking DNFs, surprise strategy calls, and a McLaren masterclass where Lando Norris emerged victorious after benefiting from a well-timed safety car amid wet conditions. Oscar Piastri, who led most of the sprint, finished second while Lewis Hamilton secured third for Ferrari.
The 2025 Miami Grand Prix was a showcase of McLaren's dominance, with Oscar Piastri clinching his third consecutive victory, being only the fourth driver in F1 history who achieved this distinction, extending his overall championship lead to 16 points over teammate Lando Norris. Piastri's win was particularly impressive as he started from fourth on the grid and overtook pole sitter Max Verstappen by lap 14. He also got a very deserved driver of the day. The race concluded with a McLaren 1-2 finish, followed by George Russell in third for Mercedes, which was mostly due to the tire strategy and a timely safety car.
The Grand Prix weekend wasn't without controversy. Elbows were out, and there were some fantastic overtakes, a few safety cars, a couple inconsistent penalties, both in the sprint, where the finishing order was affected, and the main race. A couple power unit issues, and wait until we discuss the debacle going on with Ferrari's strategy. Meanwhile, Max Verstappen, who started from pole, slipped to fourth due to a combination of defensive driving errors and strategic disadvantages, keeping the statistic alive that no one has won this race from pole position. With that, let's dive into the drama, the overtakes, and the South Beach spectacle, giving us the most excitement we've had in a race since Australia. So, Ina, who won your heart in the Miami Grand Prix?
In both sprint and the race, it was Alex Albon. We all know I love an arc. And of course, Alex gave me an arc. First, he managed to be P4 in the sprint, which was insane, with the rain affecting a lot of strategies and completely scrambling up the order. It was very impressive. And I just love his interview where the interviewer tells him that he's being investigated for unsafe release because he was actually going under the speed limit during safety car period, which I did not even know was a rule, but there you go. And so when they interviewer told Alex that he was being investigated, you could see his face completely fall, and he just said a very painful no. His 5-second penalty, unfortunately, got him out of the points. So with that, he needed a redemption, and he got it. My favorite moment, where he finally discovered his inner bastard. Alex Albon has the reputation for being the nicest guy in the grid. However, in this race, when his team told him to hold position, Alex did not listen, overtook Sainz, and ultimately ended up P5. I think that was great.
I watched the post-race interview on F1 TV, and they asked Albon about it. He made it sound that it was very coincidental that he didn't hear the radio message until he was in the process of already overtaking Sainz.
Excellent take from him. Do not believe it for a second, but good for him.
I didn't either. I thought that was great for him.
I love that not only did he went against the team's wishes and actually made it the strategy look fantastic.
As far as who won my heart in Miami, I'm not going to give it to a driver. I'm going to give it to Miami's track.
Has Stroll come back to wooing you, given his performance in the sprint?
He started wooing back in the sprint, and then it all fell apart again in the race, which was unfortunate. But I loved having the sprint this weekend. It was fun because you had Kimi on pole, Lando take it, even though Oscar led it. Neither one of our predictions came true at all. You thought Max was going to take it. I thought a Ferrari, either one of them, were going to take pole in the race.
The penalty, very justified, because it ruined his race, it ruined Antonelli's race. Max ran into him in the pit lane and was penalized 10 seconds, which put him last of
I know.
the drivers who finished. I thought that was appropriate. But in terms of the sprint, I just think it's hilarious. Lando won because of a safety car, because
I
that's
know.
exactly how he won last year. And I like the main race where Max was undone by the safety car and George Russell pitting and getting ahead of him on the track. And he just said, that's racing. Like, he didn't take a very negative view of it or woe is me attitude. He just accepted it because that's how racing goes.
Well, that's how it goes sometimes. He's had the benefit of the safety car many times over. Russell got the benefit this go round. And I was glad that when they investigated in the main race, that first turn, they considered it hard racing. I don't think there was a penalty there.
I don't.
Really?
Yes.
Okay,
I
fill me
think he
in.
pushed Lando off. I mean, the stewards, they're super inconsistent.
They are.
So I just wish they would clarify the rule. Because to me, it seemed exactly how Lando actually presented it on the radio. He left me no room. I was either going to crash into him or crash into a wall or give it up. My thinking of it now has changed because I think if he accepted being second at that moment, he actually would have kept his position and would have moved up because if Oscar could do it, so could Lando. I think he got really ambitious at that moment. But I do think, unfortunately, whether it's on the limit of being defensive, that's Max's style. He loves to push people off. It seemed to me watching it that he did push him off. But one thing I have to say to Lando, bring out your inner bastard. Crash into him. You know what? That's what Lewis did in
That's what Lewis did.
2021. He did it once, he did it twice, and Max got the memo. So maybe Lando should sacrifice some points. I know it's hard because his teammate is doing so well, but it's one of the things that I think is very clear. Max races them differently.
He does.
He respects Oscar and he would not push him as much as he does Lando. So Lando has to do something to change that dynamic.
It's the same with Charles. He races Charles different.
That's because they had so many incidents over their career before F1 that he
But
got the memo there too.
it's like punching the bully in the nose. I do agree with you. I think Lando's got to do something to say, hey.
My point is, like, I don't get that this is turn one incident. If it happened at a later lap, I bet he's getting a penalty. So I think he should have gotten a penalty here. Ultimately, I don't think it would have changed anything in terms of results. But again, it's the inconsistent stewarding.
I think for turn one, they have been fairly consistent on that one just because it's such a short dash to get to that turn, especially in Miami.
Well, true. They didn't penalize Oscar last time.
Right.
However, they penalized Max when he retained the advantage.
Who broke your heart? There's a number of them for me again.
Okay. Well, for me, I specifically did not choose the obvious suspects because I think they deserve special discussion.
They do.
But for me, it was Ollie Bearman. I don't understand what is happening with him because he qualifies last, like how many races now, which is very concerning.
Yes.
And then he usually makes it up in the race. Well, lo and behold, in the sprint, he did move up, but then, of course, he had a penalty. It's so funny because the four people who got penalties in the sprint, two I was against, but I like those drivers, and two I totally agreed with, and I think it's because how I feel about the drivers. So yeah, Bearman and Albon, my God, why did they have to suffer? But Max and Lawson all deserved all the time. But yeah, he got a penalty. He lost out on points in the sprint. So I thought, okay, redemption time. And again, he qualified last in qualifying. I thought, moment of truth. You have to do something in the race. And granted, his machinery completely let him down, but he wasn't doing anything special. At 1.13th, which he started 19th. I'm disappointed. Bearman is capable of amazing highs, but also very low lows. So it's this part of his inconsistent streak, which I hope he irons out. So for all those reasons, he broke my heart.
Understandably, because I think they're all justified. Everybody wanted Ollie to do better this season. He seemed to start strong in his going in the opposite direction. For me, I know it's a top four team, but Kimi Antonelli crushed me this weekend. I was hoping he was going to do better. I was excited he got sprint pole. I wanted him to get on the podium. It's exciting to see such pure raw talent from him. And it's only his sixth F1 race, and he's done phenomenal. He's been the best out of the rookies.
I just want to point out that he's also in the best car
Yes, that
of the
helps.
rookies.
Yes.
That helps. And second of all, I honestly think it's everything that happened in the sprint is a learning lesson. And speaking of finding his inner bastard, I can't wait until he does, because he was very adamant that Oscar pushed him when he was told, like, no, that was considered, turn one incident. He said,
Right.
good to know. So you know that revenge is
It's
coming.
coming.
It is simmering. And then, of course, with Max plowing into him in the pit lane, we don't know what would have happened. I
Nope.
think for the sprint, he did his best. There were definitely flashes of brilliance and flashes of still being raw and new, but I love the fact that he got the pole.
The other one who broke my heart is Jack Doohan. He finally outqualified his teammate, and then freaking Liam Lawson taking him out. We didn't even have a chance in the race. I hated that for him.
Well, Lawson was a menace because he took out Alonso in the sprint. Then he
Yep.
continued taking Doohan, and then he kept saying, "Oh, I don't know what happened. Somebody just ran into." I'm like, "Really? You just didn't know what was up? You were not aware enough to know where Doohan was." At least Doohan was trying to say, "Well, I haven't reviewed it, but maybe he had somebody on the outside." Like, he was trying to come up with scenarios, and Lawson's like, "Nope, not me."
I know. I feel like he hasn't had a fair shake this season, and that just stinks all around. But I'm afraid to even ask. Ferrari.
Well, let's count the blessings. Lewis got third in the sprint with due to good strategy, so not the words I thought I would ever say about Ferrari. Also, some of his radio messages have already become iconic. So
They're the greatest part of the race.
I wouldn't say the greatest, but after the first 20 laps, that's what made it fun.
When they're like Carlos Sainz 1.4 behind, oh, you want me to let him pass too? I literally laughed out loud.
That was perfect sort of sarcasm, but I don't know if you heard that apparently Fred Vasseur visited him. We don't know what was said. It could have been an admonishment. And according to Lewis, he replied, "Oh, you shouldn't be that sensitive," which implies that he was reprimanded for how he talked on the radio. I don't know which part really irked Ferrari the most. Is it when he said, are you going to have a tea break, when they took forever to decide whether to switch? Or the infamous, you want me to let him pass too? But one of these things really irked Ferrari, so that's an issue.
My guess, it's the one where he said, this isn't how a team operates.
He didn't say that. He said it's not good teamwork, which I thought was a dig at Leclerc, and I did not appreciate it.
I didn't take it as a dig at Leclerc. I took it as
He literally
not.
said he asked to switch positions in China, and now he expected it back. I mean, it probably directed at both.
That was his engineer and the team. I don't think that was Leclerc.
It was fair. Like, he said, in China, I was not the fastest, so I gave up
Yeah.
position. Now I feel like I'm the fastest. Give me position. So
Yeah.
that seemed perfectly reasonable.
The challenge came in. It took them 3 laps to make a decision.
Well, that's the thing. We may disagree on this. I think Ferrari did a lot of strategic mistakes. I think they should not have pitted him first. It should have been Leclerc, because hard tires always lo take longer to warm up. So he needed more time. And plus, when they pitted him, the virtual safety car ended. So that timing was all wrong. I think they should have done what McLaren did, which is double stack and call in Leclerc first. Second, I don't think they should have switched position in the first place, because Sainz was still within DRS zone. So while they're switching, there's a possibility of Sainz passing them. So I get that fear, but if they kept for 3 laps deciding whether to switch, at that point they should have realized the advantage no longer existed. So there's no reason to switch. Because, of course, at the time they switch, Lewis's tires started to go off, and finally Leclerc started to come in, but they're in the wrong order. I love the radio when they ask them what you can do with your tires. And he was so honest. He's like, I honestly don't know. He was getting closer and closer to Antonelli. So if he was switched earlier, he could have gotten there. I doubt it, but I think he deserved the possibility. I feel like Ferrari went off the deep end with when to pit, who, and the switching of positions because they didn't react quick enough. And the way I saw it, they actually had Lewis dictate the strategy, which is fine, but then go with that. Like switch him immediately, do everything that Lewis said.
But
But they
they
took
should have
what.
switched him immediately. That was
But
the
when they
problem.
didn't, then there was no point to switch. That's my point.
I was very frustrated because they should have. He was on mediums. They were the better tire for that track for the weekend. Everyone on mediums was doing really well. The medium tires were even having extended life more than normal. I think Ferrari screwed both of them with not switching first, and then the way it took so long to switch them back. And yes, I think if Lewis would have gone immediately, he felt great in the car, which has not really happened because he brakes late and the car is not designed to brake late. So in slow turns, he keeps on pace with Leclerc. He doesn't have the trust in the car in the fast corners. Now, the thing with Miami is even their fast corners, I'd say, are like medium corners. But I think Ferrari screwed them both.
Oh, I agree. I just think maybe this is something Leclerc should learn. Tell his team, yes, I'm going to get closer, faster, just switch. So he's very honest, but that doesn't give the team any information. Whereas Lewis was extremely ambitious, saying, oh, yeah, I'll definitely get close. And he didn't.
Because they held him up. I think if they would have released him, then he would have done it.
And my point is, if Lewis was faster, why couldn't he overtake Leclerc?
I don't know. I wish he would have just overtaken him.
I think he wasn't fast enough, but he's so confident in his abilities that he thought, doesn't matter, I'm still going to get close to Antonelli. And again, if they switched him right away, we don't know. Maybe he was right. Another telling radio was when they tell Leclerc they were going to switch. He actually said, there is no point, which I thought was hilarious because, again, he's very honest and he's right. Like, it didn't really change anything in the race. But of course, he's not going to decline the switch if it was offered to him.
They should have switched back because Hamilton didn't get close enough and Leclerc was in front of him. So I understand why they switched back. I just wish they would have switched him earlier. But I think it goes to a broader question that's been raised about Fred. I don't think he's doing the best job on strategy and development, even before Hamilton got there.
I agree. There's a few different components. The culture at Ferrari, Fred inherited the same organization that Mattia had. My issues with Mattia, and again, remember, I only saw it from Drive to Survive, so it could be completely different, is that he was adamant that it wasn't the car, it wasn't the strategy, it was the driver. In fact, he emphatically said that. Now, Fred has implied it on occasion, which I disagreed with. Ferrari, there's very entrenched issues that they can't solve overnight. They need a lot of overhaul of personnel. The biggest issue for Fred is that he's trying to appease both drivers, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work at McLaren when it ever comes to that, where they have to decide who prioritize. And it's not working now. Granted, they don't want to choose who to prioritize, and maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. But my point is, they have to be more assertive as a team. Because look at what happened to Red Bull. My favorite part was when they filed a protest of George's
Oh,
lifting.
lifting.
Yeah, when GP told Max, yeah, he lifted. And
Right.
yet they went with the contest because I think they're afraid of Max. And so they're like, we're just going to do whatever Max wants us to do. But at least they know who to prioritize. Like, they're not going to listen to Yuki. It's all
No,
Max
they're
all the
not.
time.
I think Ferrari need a clear strategy in general, and I don't think it's the drivers. It seems to be the car. And if you listen to Hamilton's post-race interviews, we know what the issue is. We're taking steps to fix it, but it's not happening fast enough. I would love to know what the issue is.
The issue is obviously with the car, which is just not fast enough.
Most of the hype this season has really been between McLaren, Max, Mercedes. where Ferrari stands in the mix seems to be a pretty solid four. Let's read the rest of the grid, starting with the Lego Drivers Parade. Such a fun change up. And I think all of the drivers loved it. They had so much fun. I was waiting to see if there was a radio call come in about a Lego puncture, because if you step on those, they're the most painful thing ever. So I could only imagine what damage they would do to a tire. But what was your take on the Lego Drivers Parade?
I thought it was adorable. I would do it every race if possible. Lance Stroll might have had fun, but he didn't look it, which is unfortunate because even Lewis let go. Obviously, he has a whimsical side to him, of course, but I'm just saying, like, the race is coming, but they all seem to revert back to their childhoods, which were not, for some of them, were not that long ago. I mean, Fernando Alonso looked 20 years younger. Like, he was having so much fun. And I just love how seriously they took the race, like plowing into each other, strategically deciding on the corners. One amazingly adorable moment. Yuki kept telling him that, okay, I'm going to be your child. Treat me like your baby. And it was hilarious because Max, like, yep, will do. And I'm like, that's perfect.
They truly had a great time. It was
yes.
so fun to see the genuine joy on their faces driving around, racing each other. I loved it. Whoever came up with that, kudos to you. Hand clap all around. That was so much fun.
The question I had was, so it seemed like all the experienced drivers were driving with the second driver behind in their seats, except for Lewis. So I just thought that was interesting. Why was he not driving? Is it just because it's not his thing, or he doesn't really drive unless it's, you know, points on the line?
I can't imagine Hamilton not wanting to do that, because I feel like he's a big kid at heart. My guess is they had to have a contest, or maybe he lost the chess match and Leclerc won, and that's who determined who drove the car. But he looked like he had so much fun being driven around.
Obviously, Red Bull, if Max wants it, he gets it. There's no coin flip. What about
yes.
the rest of it? Was there another coin flip? It just happened to go into the more experienced driver's hand. It's a mystery that I'm just like, let's do this every race so I can just judge based on who drives now. Are they switching? What's going on?
I don't know. I never heard any commentary talk about how the driver was chosen or anything like that. So I don't know.
That's
how
why
they came
we're
up with
here
it.
To point out the missing pieces.
This
literally.
Is a missing piece. My guess is Leclerc beat Hamilton at a chess match, or maybe Leo outran Roscoe. Something fun probably happened as far as like a team friendly competition for who got to drive. That's how I envision that going.
Fair enough.
Williams had a great race. The car performed really well. And it was interesting to hear them in the post-race interviews. They were like, we don't expect that to happen in Imola. It's very curious to me how certain cars do really well on some tracks versus others. But it was good to see Williams have such a solid race. I think James Vowles has done a great job with that team. I am glad that Williams is finally behind Ferrari, though, in the constructors. That was a little concerning when they were actually ahead of them at one point this year. Mercedes, George got pretty lucky with the safety car and his positioning to help get him onto the podium. We talked a bit about Kimi Antonelli from sprint qualifying, although what would happen if he gets on the podium, I think, is one of the cutest comments he might have made, other than Toto Bear guarding his trophies.
Yeah, I just love the fact that he was going to bring Bottas to drink champagne for him, which I thought was adorable. Wish we could have seen it, because that would just be the pinnacle, and just shows you, I think, how adorable that relationship is. I wish we could see more of that too.
I know. I like Bottas. I love his social media. He's doing a great job as the brand ambassador for Mercedes. He's bringing some great content. We talked a little bit about Aston Martin. You asked if Stroll wooed, where the wooing status is. I gotta say, they have had a rough couple of races.
They're horrible. I didn't think they would be the worst team, but they might have been in Miami. And I just thought for Stroll, it was a little bit of justice, because Max did impede him. And for Stroll to finish P5 partially due to the fact of Max's penalty in the sprint, it put the whole sprint portion of it in the right direction. And then, of course, everything was undone in the qualifying and the race. The fact that Alonso was with him, but ahead, and not by little, is an issue. I have to give Stroll one more commendation.
All right,
Is
let's hear it.
in every race this year, maybe I'm exaggerating, but in most of the races this year, there was a moment where Oscar Piastri has to lap Stroll. And
Oh,
inevitably,
I
Stroll does
know.
not move away.
Nope.
This time, he did
He
it quickly.
did.
He did it quickly.
He did. I was great. I know they said blue flag, he's gonna lap Stroll. I was like, oh man, are we gonna see him stay out in the middle and block? But he moved right over.
He's learning. I love that for him.
Maybe that means there will be hope he won't end up in the gravel anymore.
Let's hope. I'm not 100% sure, but let's hope.
Did you see Alonso spun out but recovered?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him too, because he's better than this. Although my favorite Alonso quote this whole weekend was when I think he congratulated Max on Instagram for the birth of his daughter, and he said, "I can't wait to race Lily."
That's a pretty good quip.
He's very funny.
Do we talk about Sauber? There's not much to
There's
say,
not
although
much
I
to
did
talk
feel
about.
bad for Hulkenberg.
I honestly don't know what hope there is, because at least Aston Martin can say, "Well, we have Newey, and he's working on 2026 car." What does Sauber have? We have
I don't know,
Audi.
but I was surprised the Bordoleto had a power unit issue right after Biermann had a power unit issue.
Which is rare nowadays to see the
Right.
issues. And I'm like, I understand how why Haas would have an issue, because they're always famously cash strapped. But Sauber? I don't know.
Yeah, that one threw me for a bit of a loop. We are into another triple header. We finished Miami with our second sprint. They are headed for their first European race. Who's going to
Well,
get pole at Imola?
based on the fact that Red Bull is definitely bringing upgrades, this is the track that Red Bull are good at, and it's not going to be as hot as it was in Miami. So, based on all these factors and the fact that he's been amazing in qualifying, I'm going to go with Max.
Okay, I think those are all fair arguments. I will not pick the same. I say George Russell gets pole at Imola.
George Russell will be very grateful to hear that.
Who is getting P3?
I'm not sure, because I don't remember last race at Imola being that interesting. I just know that Lando kept getting closer and closer to Max, and that's when everyone got excited, because it seemed like there's now a championship fight. Given how Lando starts races now and all the pressure on him, I'm going to put him P3.
Okay. I am going to put Russell back to P3.
You gave him hope and you took it away.
I did. I did. Sorry, George. P2. I am going to put Lando P2.
That's what I was debating, P2, P3. So for me, P2 would be Max, because last year, when the car was better, Lando almost got him. Now we know the car will not be better. So that what gives me ideas that it's going to be Max at P2, which means my P1 is the man I should have put P1 for this race, but I went with the hopium of Charles Leclerc. I'm going to go Oscar. I think he makes it 4 for 4. I know it's a tough call, especially since I don't have him on pole, but that's what I'm going to go with. What about you?
Well, that's who I've had on P1. Since you put him P1, I will put Max P1, and then I'm going to switch my P3 and put Oscar.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, you don't even have Oscar on the podium. That's, oh
I
my God,
know. Well,
Russell just.
I was going to put him P1, but we can't have the same. You have Max on pole, Oscar 1, Max P2 and Lando P3.
Correct.
I have Russell on pole, Max P1, Lando P2, Oscar P3.
Okay, you describe Russell's worst nightmare. He's on
I
pole and Max
know.
is winning. I
I
don't think
know.
he's going to be your friend anymore, Aaron.
I don't think George is going to love me for that one. I have a bit of hope for Ferrari that maybe we'll pull a 4-5 because Ferrari's bringing upgrades.
Well, unlike Red Bull, their upgrades are all over the place. Sometimes they work, and sometimes, like last year, they go backwards. So I'm not as enthused about their upgrades in Imola, but I think there's definitely going to be someone at P5.
Okay.
I want to say Charles Leclerc, but who knows? I think the second one is going to be lower. So I do.
In the top 10 lower or out
Yes,
of the top 10?
yes. No, I think
Okay.
still top 10. I think they're going to be close. So either P5, P6, P5, P7.
Okay.
All right, I'll put Leclerc at P5, but I don't trust Ferrari to make that happen. What about you?
I'm gonna put Charles and Lewis 4-5.
Listen, it's an improvement from this week. So that, as I said last week, I hope your predictions come true, except for Max winning. But other than that,
Listen, I don't love Max winning, but I don't know how Max is not on the podium.
no, he's going to be on the podium.
And speaking of Max, we would be remiss not to congratulate him and Kelly on the birth of their daughter, Lily. We will revisit Spill the Grid and get caught up on all of the paddock tea next episode.
Miami gave us sunshine, storms, and a serious shakeup in the championship standings, with McLaren on top and tension simmering elsewhere on the grid. Next up, the iconic Imola circuit, where tight corners, unforgiving gravel traps, and passionate tifosi promise another thrilling chapter in the 2025 season. And we will test Aaron's theory of Lance Stroll not ending up in the gravel.
I'm hoping he learned his lesson. That's our hopium for Imola because we're not banking on it for Ferrari. Sorry, Tifosi. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
Would also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your favorite unjust penalty recipient. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.